Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. Our key sentence for today, this is the time for North American ministers to start preaching with a greater sense of urgency. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking, as we always do, with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. Luke 19 is about the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem. I want to read part of a sentence from that chapter to set up our discussion for today. It's the last half of verse 44, where Jesus condemns the Pharisees and the city itself, and he says that terrible things are on the horizon because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. David, my question is, are there times that require a greater sense of urgency in one's preaching than just business as usual?
Well, as far as Jesus was concerned in that passage, there's no question this was an intense time for him because he knew he was coming to the end of his life. The crucifixion was not very far in the distant future. You certainly get from Jesus a feeling that as you get toward the latter part of his life, there's a much greater urgency than at the first part of his life. He knows his mission from the very beginning, but he's just feeling what is going on. Generally speaking, I would say for American believers, there is this sense of discomfort as to what's happening in the world. You watch what's going on in the Middle East and the whole growing strength of militant Islam. I think that's made believers most uncomfortable. I think in terms of what's happening in the American culture, we've lost so much ground in terms of where we are as a nation. And I think believers feel that sense of, wow, what's going on? So they're uncomfortable, but I don't sense, I'm speaking generally, there are voices that are different. I don't sense that from the pulpit on Sunday morning you have this sense of urgency, that we don't have all the time in the world. If we're going to make a move, now is the time to make the move. And you hear that in the sense of passion as far as the minister speaking. It's almost like we finished Ezekiel, now let's go down to a series in Genesis, or maybe we'll try Colossians or whatever, but you don't get this, oh my goodness, what is going on in the church as contrasted to what's going on in the world. Now, again, there are exceptions to that. But for the most part, generally speaking, I would say this is a time when the pulpit in America should really come alive, and there should be those voices that say, we don't have all the time in the world. We're going to have to turn things around here. We're losing the next generations. We're becoming the new Europe as far as the church is concerned. I don't hear that in most sermons that I listen to, although I do hear it in some.
Can you give me an example of someone who speaks with urgency?
Yes, I could. I think it's always a danger when you say specific names, but I can do that. And I would say that I read a great number of books. I probably read a book, I don't know if this is more or less than most, but at least the book every other week I finish another book. So say 2 to 3 books a month. One of the books I read just recently was by Fred Hartley III. He's a pastor out of Atlanta. The book is called, as I recall, I just finished, it's A Fire in the Church. And that's a pretty good title to begin with, Fire in the Church. I found myself, as I read through that book, which is kind of characteristic of his preaching ministry as well, I found myself deeply moved. He has a very strong ministry of prayer around the world. There were examples, and I thought, that's the kind of prayer group I want to be a part of. And there was something that was tugging in my heart. I hear regularly a man preach who is from Cuba, and his name is Manny Mill. He's an ex-offender. He spent time in jail, and he has a ministry to those people who are either in jail. They go and meet people as they come out of jail. It's called Meet Me at the Gate. So people they've been praying for, they don't just come out after many years in jail and then, or in prison, really, and then have no one to greet them, you know, except the warden, now you're free. So he's living out this life of service for people who have gone through very hard times. But when he speaks, he has a passion. There's no question. My wife hadn't heard him that much, and she went to hear him. She came away saying, it's just good to hear that fire, to hear that passion. This is a man who has tremendous desire to see God work. And he talks of prayer. He talks about his own brokenness quite a bit. And he's challenging people to a whole new level of expectancy in Christ. I like that. I find when it's done that it is spoken to me deeply inside. And I like that. I think that when Jesus words were spoken, there was something that just cracked people inside. It got beyond all their barriers. And I find that for a lot of ministers, it doesn't get past the barriers. People are able to fend it off. It's like they have a great shield in front of them. It bounces off. Some of these people, and thank God for them, it gets past all their defenses. I would hope that listening to me, people wouldn't say that just a matter of shouting loudly or whatever. That's not what it is. It's something more than that. And I think that you can speak very quietly without a whole lot of emotion and do that same thing where you're almost reaching in through the person's stomach and getting their backbone, and you got a good grip there. And you say, you have to hear what I'm saying. This is very important. I find with a lot of people I listen to, their whole demeanor, even though they speak on behalf of Jesus, it's not a demeanor that says, this is really important what I'm saying. It's kind of like, well, what do I know? I'll tell you the best I can, but maybe your ideas are better than mine. That's kind of the feeling that you get. So yes, I think that urgency is something that not only is needed, but it's something that when I hear it, at least my own personal feelings, when I hear it, I know it, and I'm glad for it. And there's not enough of it today in the pulpit.
Are there texts that are inherently more urgent than others?
I think you can make a text urgent. That's a good question. The parable of the sowers. That's not a very urgent text in most people's minds. You know, Jesus says this is the seed that was sown by the wayside or whatever. But if you look at that text and you say, where is the American church? The American church, in my mind, is the seed that was sown among the thorns. And it says the cares of the world come along and choke out the seed. Well, that's where we are in this country. And that's an urgent text. You know, if you realize everybody wants to be the seed that produces tenfold, 50-fold, 100-fold, you think, what was I, 10, 50, or 100? You know? And the truth is, as American believers, I think the honest person would look at that and say, generally speaking, we're the ones who are choked out by the thorns. Just too many cares. We just don't have time to make what Jesus said a priority. Now, that's an urgent text, but it's made urgent by how you approach the text. If you just explain what the different kinds of seed are, and maybe you ought to think about where you fit into this, you know, that's not an urgent text. If you ask me what would be the urgent text of the day, I would say it's probably the book of Revelation. I think the book of Revelation has this great sense of urgency to it. And I mean, you're talking about the clash of the superpowers, and you're talking about the climax of the world, and you're talking about judgment, and you're talking about the return of Christ. Those are all urgent texts. Now, you can make it a prophecy book, and it loses most of its urgency because it all becomes cerebral. But if you talk about it in terms of what this means to us, and are we seeing these very days unfold in terms of our life, and how do we respond to that, then in my mind, Revelation is an urgent text. Revelation is not the only one, but that gives you kind of what I'm saying in terms of urgency. I don't know how I could go through a series on Revelation without it seeming urgent to me. So,
when a minister is urgent week after week, how does a preacher keep from wearing the people out?
I think you're talking about the dilemma of the prophets in the Old Testament time. You're getting tired of me, and I know you're getting tired of me, but I don't have a whole lot of choice because this is what God is telling me to say. For Israel, you know, the prophets would say, you're hard-headed, and you just don't hear. And the truth is, the prophets didn't wear the people out, although they got tired of them talking. You know, they just shut up and get out of here, you know. We've heard that all before. You're a Johnny One Note. I think there's a difference, Dean, between a pastoral voice and a prophetic voice. Probably what I'm saying is that it's the prophetic voices that need to be heard more today, and a lot of pastors don't see themselves in that role. There is a very legitimate pastoral role, which is kind of the shepherding and the caring for people and all that. But you can be a pastor and a prophet. And I think the prophetic voice has to come out more. Now, is that possible to say too much what you're thinking? One of the gentlemen that I always thought highly of was Dave Wilkerson. He is now with the Lord. And there were times when I think people may have thought that he just kept ringing that same message over and over again. Leonard Ravenhill was that way. Leonard is now gone, a good man. I knew him well, and he was a close friend of David Wilkerson's. I think you can wear people out with that. But at the same time, the prophet can also say, well, you didn't respond, but I gave you the message that the Lord wanted you to hear. I would think that the preacher feels that even more intensely than the listeners feel it. I've said it so many times, they don't hear it. Please give me something else to say. Could you give me a nice, gentle, kind message to affirm people? But no, that's not what you want me to say. I will continue to say what you want me to say. I had an agent, you would know his name if I mentioned him, and he said to me when I was in the broadcast ministry, you keep calling for revival, and the truth is people don't want to hear that message. And if you don't get a new message, you're not going to be able to continue because you won't get the support you need. So I would advise you, and he gave me his advice, which you know what he was going to say. And then I had to decide whether I would follow what he said or not. And I couldn't deny that he made a lot of sense, but I also couldn't deny that what God put on my heart was that I would keep calling the country to revival. Mine was not a huge voice, but it was a voice that after a while, a lot of people heard. He used the term Johnny One Note. You got to quit being a Johnny One Note. I don't know whether I should have listened to him or not. I don't think I should have, but what he said happened, and I no longer am in broadcasting. I do feel like when I stand before the Lord, I'll say, I kept saying what I felt you put on my heart. It's a very difficult thing. I don't think people say, I really want to be called to be a prophet, Lord. Maybe you'd like to call down fire from heaven, or you'd like to show a miracle, throw your staff on the ground and let it be a snake or whatever. You'd like to have those happen every so often just to say, see, now listen to what I'm going to say. I think that there are people who have said to me, you know, I get tired of talking about revival all the time. I think that's fair. You know, how do you sort all that out? I don't know. In my heart, I still think it's a time when we got to say to God's people, we're going to have to take seriously what God's talking about. We're a long, long way down the road. We're like Israel, further and further down the road until finally God says, okay, I'm going to teach you through punishment. I don't know that that's the message I would preach in all situations, but it's the message I think the American church needs to hear.
Because the prophet is always pushing people in a direction they do not want to naturally go. It's possible that a pastor is so reluctant to fall into that role that they fall back on the excuse, I'm a pastor, not a prophet. The truth is, a faithful servant of Christ who's been called by God to minister in Christ's name has to proclaim the message that God lays on his or her heart. And if God is pursuing within your own heart a message that requires you to preach with urgency, then you better preach with urgency.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm hearing you say that not only to me, but to everybody who happens to catch what we're talking about.
This is a time for North American ministers to start preaching with a greater sense of urgency. We're so glad you joined us for our SermonCoach.com podcast for today. You found our podcast on our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. As we always do, we invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We have many helps there, many resources to assist pastors in creating effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.